ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey folks, welcome back to another week of wrecking and racing with your host, the Gas Man and Lugs.
Is this like a Halloween intro? Or?
Yeah, something like that. I've been listening to a lot of true crime here recently. My favorite podcast besides ours that I listen to is True Crime Garage. I'll plug them for a second because I just really like listening to it.
Cool. I'll have to check them out. I don't think I've ever listened to them.
Man, there's nothing more exciting than learning about how many serial killers are on the loose at any given time.
All right. If you say
yeah, so. That gets you excited. His name's Lugs, by the way. I thought he was going to introduce himself, but...
Nah, I'll let you do that.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for coming back and listening to us for another week. Again, we always do this for you guys. It's fun. It's exciting. You can always reach out to us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Check out our website, wreckingandracing.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. We try to respond to everybody, most of the time anyway. Just don't be stupid. Sometimes people are really dumb about things.
Yeah.
We're going to start off with the, I'm going to officially call it the beverage of wrecking and racing. Unofficially, because we don't get paid for it, but.
But it is the official
beer of
the
NASCAR.
The official unofficial.
Yeah. Busch Light.
All right.
It's usually Busch, but we're doing Busch Light.
So exciting week.
Cheers. Cheers to you, Lugs. How about that? We never cheer. There you go.
That's true. Oh. We had any feedback?
Last feedback I had was 50-50 down the middle. So I think we're going to do it. Just when and how, we still got to figure that out because I have no idea. I am stupid with technology. I think you're in the same boat I am.
Have you picked out your ski mask yet?
My ski mask? I am not the VP. At the Roval, we went into this like super excited, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what was going to offer.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be a wreck fest. And it really wasn't at first.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody kind of had the mindset of, this isn't quite what I expected.
I like cheese.
But guess what? That changed. It changed really quickly.
Yeah, heartburn corner.
Heartburn turn one.
Heartburn
turn one. Now we're going to be welcomed by Thomas. He's a fan of ours. He follows us on Twitter and I'm assuming Facebook as well. But we've had a lot of communication with him on Twitter. So welcome to the podcast, Thomas. How are you doing today?
Great, man. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic. Can't complain other than I'm sitting next to Lugs.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been following the podcast and everything?
So I was just actually pointed to you guys not too long ago by my good buddy Devin, who I actually work with at Bass Pro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we know Devin well. Yeah, he talks to us a lot, and so he called into the show.
Cool. So that's all.
He actually mentioned it to me, and so I was like, okay, I'll check it out because I'm an avid podcast listener to everything NASCAR. So I'm always looking for something new to listen to.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about podcasts. What podcast do you listen to? Not just NASCAR related. What's your favorite podcast?
Oh man, other than the racing ones, my favorite right now has to be the Monday Morning Podcast with Bill Burr.
Okay, yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Hilarious. The guy is amazing. He's funny. He's outspoken. I've seen him twice live.
Mm-hmm.
Actually in town, and he's so funny. He's awesome.
I have no idea who Bill Burr is.
What? How do you not know who Bill Burr is? He's a stand-up comedian, by the way.
I mean, if I seen him, I'd be like, oh, that guy. Is he in movies or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in some movies.
Like what?
I don't know. I know him as being a stand-up comedian, but I know he's in movies.
Okay, well.
Well, I will tell you, the biggest one that he was on recently was Breaking Bad, actually. He was on Breaking Bad TV show.
Okay.
And he played it in little parts of that. So that's probably his biggest role lately.
I'm sure if I seen him, I'm like, oh, that's the guy that Thomas and Lugs was talking about.
He's a pretty big.
Yeah, you can't miss
him. He's a pretty big sports fanatic, isn't he? Doesn't he chime in on a lot of like sports topics during his podcast, or what does he normally cover?
Yeah, he does. So actually, he's a Boston guy, so he loves the Boston Bruins, the Red Sox, the Celtics. He talks a lot about those teams.
The loser Patriots.
So he's pretty outspoken, but yeah, he covers pretty much all the topics, you know, sports, politics, anything random going on with his life and his career. So he's pretty funny. He gives you pretty good insight of what's going on, and he's, you know, he's pretty candid, so it's hilarious. It's uncensored, so it's hilarious.
Hey, kind of like us. We try to censor for the kids that listen to the show, but I don't think anybody listens to the show, so we should be okay. So talking about sports teams, I actually seen something on Twitter today. I'm going to throw some shade your way there, Thomas. So Patriots fans, in my eyes, are almost as bad as Cubs fans. I hate the Cubs. Yeah. The Cubs suck, man. The Cubs suck.
Thomas, are you a Cubs fan, or am I? What?
I seen
I was not expecting that loss last night, that's for sure.
Well, I'm a Cardinals fan. I wasn't expecting the last, like, 10 losses we had that knocked us out of the damn playoffs. So
yeah, I was definitely not expecting Colorado to shut us out like that especially toward the end of the game. But injuries are stacked up for the Cubs toward the end of the season. They lost both of their top relievers. Offense has struggled in the past, second half of the season, especially this last month. I mean, they had a 5-game lead going into the last month of the season, and then all of a sudden, offense decides not to, perform very well. So, you better believe the hitting coach probably will be fired. Definitely a big part of him. And then, of course, they're going to go after Bryce Harper next season. So, hopefully they can land him and, get another World Series.
Yeah, I doubt it, but we'll see.
Well, it's funny because we were just at Wrigley Field a couple weeks ago, and you were like a
ecstatic whenever we were there.
You were so happy to be there.
It's not my first time at Wrigley. I've been at Wrigley a couple times, but no, it doesn't do anything for me. The most uncomfortable seats in the MLB, but, good times.
How many stadiums you been to?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah. Five.
Four. Three. Two.
Two, three, four. Not six. I've been to six. Okay. Anyway, we'll move on. Sorry about that, folks. I got a little sidetracked. I just happened to see Thomas post something on Twitter to somebody today that was saying something about the Brewers, and I seen that based on his response, he's a Cubs fan, and I absolutely hate the Cubs, so I just thought I'd bring that up.
So, Thomas, I'm assuming you watched
not
the...
as bad as a Brewer.
Yeah, I understand.
So, Thomas, I'm assuming you watched the Roval, correct?
I did.
What was your thoughts?
Man, a lot to kind of soak in. Very exciting. I think it definitely lived up to the hype. It didn't provide the carnage I thought it would. Definitely was a little more tamed. I noticed we were kind of tweeting you guys in between the race, between you, Ryan, Devin. But overall, the action was awesome. Even the green flag runs seemed to have a lot of passing, a lot of on-track action going on. So, it definitely a lot of stuff going on at once, and once again, so we have a road course, aspect of it, so you have a lot of strategy coming into it. It was definitely really exciting. And of course, obviously the finish was one of the best finishes of the year. And that definitely, got people's attention, and it's pretty cool that, it was on, big stage like NBC, and obviously the race, I know you guys talked about the ratings every weekend. The ratings were amazing this week, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that was a big positive for NASCAR and sports. So overall, I was very happy with the Roval. I'm pretty sure it's going to be back next year. Marcus Smith did an amazing job, and Charlotte really had to swing her the fences and really get them back on the map. They're kind of in a rut right now, so they got to really make a good, a good point to bring it back and say, hey, we're the dogs, and we're a big track, so we want, big things happening. So I was overall very pleased with it.
Good. And I would agree with that. I think they're going to have a hard time reaching the bar that they set for this initial race next year, when they redo it.
And I'll be honest with you. I think it was you that messaged me, Thomas, about our thoughts and feelings on early in the race. And I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, man, this is just kind of like typical old road course, not very good racing. And then the intensity picks up. Once the intensity started picking up, it just got – at one point there, my heart was pounding watching the playoff standing because it was just bouncing back and forth. There's just a few laps to go and all the wrecks and the excitement. I mean, it was very slow going for me at first, but it turned into one of the best races of the year in my – actually, probably the best race of the year in my eyes. And who would have predicted any of that crap that happened at the end.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't have scripted that.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's like watching a Lifetime Movie Network. You know, you almost want to cry when it got done.
If you're Jimmy Johnson, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess we should back it up a little bit. Because we haven't got to that point in our podcast yet, is that it was won by Ryan Blaney by being in the right place at the right time, essentially.
Yep, but a win's a win, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have picks this week, Thomas? Like, who was, like, your picks, or who were you expecting to win this week?
Well, I mean, obviously, a lot of uncertainty. So, you know, you kind of, it was kind of, you know, anybody's race, really. You know, especially the storylines coming into the race. So, you know, you have different people with different agendas, really. You know, you got the guys that are locked in, so they're kind of, you know, who cares what happens, we're just going to try to win this thing, to where, you know, you got guys like Jimmy Johnson and Denny Hamlin, they're trying to get into the next round and, you know, really kind of probably pace themselves and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. But honestly, I kind of just went with, like, you know, your usual guys, you know, obviously the big three this year. I kind of thought that maybe Harvick or Truex or Kyle was going to end up taking it, but obviously it didn't work out that way, or even Brad, because then Brad obviously is a great, you know, road course racer anyways. But I didn't really have a pick. I couldn't really pick this week.
Yeah.
It was tough.
You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you did go through two cars that weekend.
Yeah, you got to turn the corner.
But man, let's
I know it was out of his hands.
Let's
literally
talk about that. Like, what happened? Like, four cars botched that and went straight into that turn. I mean, not only Keselowski, but Kyle Busch and Larson and Byron. I mean, was it something on the track?
Everybody.
Like, what?
So in groove, how many laps they race green?
Yeah, I don't know.
So
a
they
lot.
Were just in their green mentality, you know, how to hit the corner and stuff like that. Well, your tires are a much different situation on restart than they are, you know, being hot, sticky, you know, being...
Had a chance to cool down, but...
Yeah, so yeah. I just think that it was out of sequence for them that caused that. Because there were so many of them guilty. Whatever it was that caused it, there were so many that was guilty.
I can't...
it's one of those racing deals where, you know, you're basically, you know, you're following the leader. So, you know, Brad, you know, he really drove in there hard. So, you know, you're that one bad move, guess what? You're going to fall right into that same position. So I think it was just basically, like you said, people coming out to the end. There was at the end of the race, you know, the course of tires, you know, untested tires, untested pavement. So we don't know how hard to push it. And all of a sudden, there you go. There's your recipe for disaster. And of course, you know, five other cars followed and it turned into a mayhem.
Yeah, I absolutely did turn into carnage. I don't know if you use the word mayhem or carnage.
So,
it was a lot of metal twisted and yeah.
So
it looked like my ex-wife. Yeah.
So Gasman and I, we actually were watching the race together, and I was telling him, I was like, I can't remember a more botched restart, really,
well,
in history. But
it is fucked up.
But I do. It does make me think now that I've had a week to kind of think about it, or a few days to think about it. Is Pocono, I think it was like 2011 or 2012, they went down in turn one on a restart, and similar situation happened. I think it was actually Keselowski. He was on the inside, and he got just loose, and he just swept out like four, five, six cars. That was more of a one-driver incident instead of a bunch of them going in there. But
what about the All-Star race in 01, 02, like, where it had like sprinkled
or
something?
Yeah,
it
rained.
Was,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It was,
oh, yeah. When it was like pouring rain, and then they had to restart with all like backup cars.
Yeah, they allowed them to bring out backup. Yeah, that was pretty epic.
Yeah. So there was a couple times, but this is what I mean, obviously, my memory is atrocious. So this is the best one in my memory. Yes. I don't know how I pulled that All-Star out of my head with how my memory is. Too many beers, folks.
I remember staying up late watching that race.
I remember not watching that race. I heard it on the radio because I was, unfortunately, dating a girl at the time. I was at her house.
Yeah.
So.
And Gordon ended up winning that, by the way, in case any of our viewers were curious.
And if any of our viewers are curious what Lugs looks like, go to our Twitter account. I posted a video of him and a bunch of his friends dancing. It's not really him, but it looks just like him. Yeah, it looks just like him. The rainbow.
I mean, it was the rainbow
dancer.
First was like Joey Logano, right?
Yeah, he kind of does. He actually kind of does. I say he's a 90% match to to Joey Logano, and the other 10% is probably Danica.
Wow. That's a big compliment.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to throw the beer at me in a second. This is our typical friendship.
Better than Jimmy Spencer, you know.
Yeah, no kidding, yeah. Hey, at least, you know, I don't take shit. I punch people in the face, right? Who'd be the worst person to look like? Morgan Shepherd?
The worst
person? Skeletor?
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
I mean.
Sterling Marlin?
It's got to be him, like Derek Cope, I guess.
Yeah, Ernie Irvin.
I'm
going to
say Kyle
Busch. Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah.
So, Thomas, aren't you a Kyle Busch fan?
Yes, sir.
I think that we didn't really get to that. Who is your favorite driver before I ridicule him?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, wait, I'm waiting for that question, but I think you already know. I don't know.
I stalked you some on Twitter just so I can know a little bit about you.
Yeah.
I stalk all of our fans on Twitter.
You don't look into their windows or anything.
I'm shooting for the top. I'm going to be a VP of Atlanta Motor Speedway one of these days.
I hear they're going to have a vacancy real soon.
Yeah. Yep. So, you're a Kyle Busch fan. I am really shocked that you still listen to this show because of me.
Yeah. me being a new listener, I do know your displeasure with Kyle. I'm a little bit better. So,
hey, we do give him his due credit.
What's great about this NASCAR community? We can have, you know, open feelings, and it's okay.
And it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. Here's the thing. I give Kyle Busch shit because of the way he acts, but the dude is one of the most talented drivers ever.
Yeah, we frequently,
hands down,
frequently admit that. There's no denying that. But he does.
And he's good for the sport. Even with that attitude, he's good for the sport because he's a polarizing character. You need the bad guy. He plays the bad guy well. So
any other?
I mean, a lot of people, you know, they confuse his passion, you know, with, you know, being a sore loser. That's the one thing about him. You have to understand, he's a very passionate guy. He hates losing, you know. He obviously wants to win. You know, he's a perfectionist. And he's not shy about it. He's not shy about telling how he feels or showing it. So I think we definitely need someone like that in NASCAR. And
yeah,
I've seen it numerous times this season already to where, you know, they said, hey, like, yeah, he did that, but guess what? More people watched and more people, you know, were tuning in, you know, when he was in a crying face after Chicago, you know, when people were booing him, because people, they want to see that. They want to see that villain. So, only is he doing that, but he's also really good at what he does. So, it's a great combo.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you a little secret here. So, I've been, in a previous life, I've been management for most of my adult life. I was told one time that I always said I was a passionate person, and someone goes, Matt, you're confusing your own passion with being an asshole. So I get where Kyle Busch is coming from, because I always felt like I was passionate, but I'll be honest with self-reflection. I'm an asshole. I'm a dick to work for. not anymore, because I'm not in management anymore. Thank heavens for that. But anyway, so I completely get that, and I'm actually shocked I'm not more of a Kyle Busch fan because of that. Because I feel like we're two peas in a pod. So what drew you to Kyle Busch? Is it the M&Ms? Are you like a big fan of M&Ms, and that's what it was?
No, I wish I could say that. No, I started watching because I've been a fan since about 1994. I'm 28 now, so I've watched the sport for a long time. You know, I grew up loving Dale Earnhardt. He was my, you know, my favorite driver for sure. You know, my dad loves Earnhardt, so, you know, I picked him too. And of course, I love that black number three. Obviously my first race I ever remember watching was, you know, when Dale won the Brickyard, 1995, which was amazing. You know, I thought that was a really cool fit, you know, obviously him and Jeff Gordon going at it. You know, then after Dale had passed away, it kind of jumped on, you know, Dale Jr. a little bit. You know, obviously he's another Earnhardt, and I thought that was really cool and, you know, kind of, you know, take the legacy on and hopefully make, you know, be successful. And, you know, after a while, after he signed with Hendrick, you know, I kind of lost interest a little bit, you know, because to me, he wasn't, you know, as passionate. He wasn't driving as hard as I thought he could. You
scared,
know, back then.
Maybe? I felt like he was a little scared.
And, what was that?
I feel like he was a little scared to drive at times.
Yeah. He definitely was a little timid. So, when Kyle came along, you know, back in, you know, when he was doing Xfinity, and he was, you know, new coming up, you know, I watched him a little bit, and I kept my eye on him, and he started winning races. And even back then, you know, his, you know, personality was probably about the same, probably way more aggressive. But, you know, I was like, man, this guy, he's awesome. You know, I love his driving style. He reminds me of Dale Earnhardt. You know, he'll put it in there, you know, where people won't, which is, you know, awesome. So, basically, you know, I really started becoming a real fan of him in 2008, you know, when Toyota came on, you know, Joe Gibbs really brought that, and he was in the 18 car, and of course, he had an amazing year in 2008 without winning the championship, but, you know, since then, but I just, every time, you know, I watched him, I was like, man, like, this guy is, he's amazing, you know, and what he can do with the car is just incredible, and he just doesn't care what people think, and, you know, he wants to do what, you know, he wants to do, and he's got pure talent, and I just love the way he carries himself, and I love his driving style, so I from then on, I've been a fan since.
I understand. And the great thing about this show, Thomas, is that we don't discriminate against, you know, fans of drivers we don't necessarily agree with. So, you know, try not to talk too bad about other drivers, but sometimes he just makes it too easy. So, let me ask you a question. Were you offended by the Pee-wee Herman comparison?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I listen to podcasts when I drive to work, usually back and forth from work. And I made it on Facebook and stuff, and I'm just like, oh man. I was like, no, you know what? No, it's funny. I just joke. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, and honestly, most Kyle Busch fans actually take it with a grain of salt, and they're, you know, really good humor. Like, when we were down in Daytona, me and Lugs were down in Daytona in your neck of the woods, I was wearing a shirt that said, Kyle Busch dumps more dudes than Taylor Swift. Because he had just spun out, was it?
Larson.
Larson, yeah. So anyway, I had a lot of people stop us that were Kyle Busch fans that said they loved the shirt. So.
That's awesome.
All right, so
I definitely love our group of fans for sure. They definitely take it, you know, like some of the greatest ball.
At times, I'm a football fan. I get it, but.
But you're bitchy all the time.
Yeah, thanks, Lugs. Yeah, I'm never bitchy on this show. Okay, so let's talk about where we're standing in the playoff points. Okay, since we have Thomas on the phone, before we have to let him go here in a little bit, okay, so we'll start off with you, Lugs, because you're looking at me kind of like a chipmunk.
Okay.
How close were you predicting the four getting knocked out?
I got three out of the four right.
Okay, which one were you wrong on?
I had Bowman being executed. Yeah, taken
executed.
Out.
Not executed, eliminated.
Executed from, yeah. You know, the okay. Chase. So I was wrong there, but that's the only one I missed.
Okay, so I was three of the four as well. I had Almirola making it to the next round. Obviously, I was wrong. Thomas, what about you?
Wait, he did make it to the next round.
No, I mean, I had Almirola get knocked out, is what I meant.
Oh, okay,
okay. I apologize.
Yeah, so I also had three out of four. My wrong one was Bowman. And also, I had Ryan Blaney out.
Ah.
Ooh, man.
That one stings a little.
Yeah, man, that really sucks. Yeah, so...
Just for the fact that he's not very strong in road courses, especially this year, so I was like thinking, like, man, he'd probably struggle, and he actually ended up performing really, really well. Obviously,
yeah.
He ended up winning, you know, by circumstance, so great for him, though. I love Ryan Blaney. He's a great guy.
Yeah, a good personality. There's a lot of the young guys have great personalities. I mean, it'd be nice if we've seen Chase's personality occasionally. He needs to step out a little
bit
more.
He does, yeah, he does kind of play.
He holds his cards close to his chest.
Yeah. I've got Sokka's
he
list
was,
here too because
yeah,
he was
what, 2 for 4.
Yeah, 2 out of 4. So overall, I mean, we did pretty
not too bad, not too bad. Yeah. Who do you have winning? I'm assuming Kyle. You have Kyle winning this year.
I would say for sure. I mean, just for the fact that they've been all season. You know, their season's been kind of weird in a way in the sense that. They've had great cars, but unloading off the truck, they've been slow. So there's been a team that's made adjustments through the weekend and through the race. And all of a sudden, you know, here they come. You know, they show their speed, not necessarily straight off the truck like Harvick or Truex, but they definitely make great adjustments. You know, Adam Stevens is thing. Ever since he's come on team since 15, you know, they've done nothing but, you know, winning and adjustments. And their communication, you know, driver crew chief has been amazing. And also, you know, Tony Hirschman's been a great part of that too. And so I love all three of them together. They're a great team. And obviously when they have, you know, struggling races, they fight, they dig down deep. I think Richmond was a big, big, you know, statement from that. They clearly shown that they didn't give up and, you know, they win that thing, you know, regardless. So, yeah, I got Kyle winning it, yeah. But I have Harvick probably right behind them for sure.
Okay.
Kyle's going to be hard to beat.
Okay, and talking about, you know, coming off the truck that you were just talking about, I here's my theory on that. I think he comes off with a great amount of speed, but he just wants to toy with everybody. So he just like, oh, I suck. Watch me start to, you know, move back at the beginning of the race and come back and whip all your asses. So I just think he has that kind of pull. He's like just showing off to everybody. Look what I can do. Like, you ever seen Stewie on Mad TV? Look what I can do.
Stewart, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. Give me one second here.
As usual, it would not be a true podcast without Gasman doing something over there.
Sorry, my foot got caught in my headphone jack and pulled my headphones out, so I couldn't hear anything. That's probably good because I don't like to hear my voice anyway.
It is atrocious.
Yeah, so talking, you know, keep talking about the Rove a little bit more here. You know, the one thing that really stood out to me is that how many people that were underdogs did quite well, who took advantage of those situations.
Yeah.
I mean, like, D Burrito finished, what, 13th?
Yeah, he was actually one of my picks.
Who else do we have? David Reagan, well,
so we 16th. we were talking to Thomas about his pick, so let's run through ours real quick, if you're good with that.
Yeah, yeah, I thought we did that.
So, no, we didn't.
My memory.
No,
shot.
We did definitely not.
Maybe to
so
me.
I had Chase and the D Burrito. I was pressured into that at kind of last second, and actually paid off for me. So
yeah.
He finished 13th, and Chase was 6th. Who'd you have, Gasman?
I had a Truex and Allmendinger. I was looking like a genius until like 10 foot before the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Johnson. You asshole.
You were so close, Gasman.
I know. I was so close, so close. And Allmendinger finished 7th, so I would have had a really good week, but no, Johnson had to ruin it for me. And hey, karma. Karma's a bitch, Johnson. You get knocked out. No, I really did feel bad for Johnson, though. Yeah, I really did. Yeah. I mean, yeah. you cannot hate anything about his post-race interview. You have to kind of respect the guy, because he was very... I thought he was going to cry. I'm not going to lie. In his eyes, you can see how sad he was. And I your heart would almost, like, the strings would get pulled for him on that. I don't know. I mean, I'm like I said, it's like a Lifetime movie. And then
yeah, I kind of wanted to make a point to that. I mean, so...
At first, I thought you said you wanted to make a porn.
No, not yet, at least.
Okay.
No, I mean, so obviously, you know, he wanted to obviously really win that race. You know, if you win, he's in, and you know, finishing. You know, you can say he can finish second and settle for that and go into the playoffs. Well, his team just to keep track of points and where everybody was. So, to his point, he had to really go for it and win that thing, regardless. You know, he thinks, okay, I have to win, and then I'm going to be in the next round. So I really don't blame him. You know, obviously the guy won in over a year, so I mean he's really hungry. He wants to win. You know, so
yeah,
he admitted to it after the race. He's like, hey, I messed up. You know, I should have looked to, you know, for the championship, not the win. But you know, that's what happens when you're hungry and you want to go for something. You know, so
yeah, trust me, I know all about being hungry. Yeah, you put a bowl of spaghetti in front of me, I don't care. I'm going for the win. You know.
Absolutely.
Going for the takedown. Yeah, but I agree.
And
like
Truex, on the other hand, I don't understand why Truex was so mad. I don't know if you guys saw or not, but he did spin him out.
Yeah.
On the cooldown.
Yeah,
mat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about that. It made no sense.
But. Yeah, he called him out at the end of the race, and you know, said that he's pretty desperate and you know whatnot. I'm like, well, of course the guy's desperate. You know, like, I mean, he wants to be in. You know, he wants to go next round. He wants to win. So I really don't blame Jimmy. And it just shows you how much passion and fire he still has. You know, a lot of people are doubting him and he's ready to retire yet. And I'm like, no, that guy's still got a good, you know, 5 years left for sure. There's no question.
Oh, easily.
So there's two ways to look at that. Johnson could have moved Truex intentionally, right, or what exactly happened unintentionally. So I don't see how Truex could be so mad about it. It was unintentional. Now, had he just rammed the crap out of him and bumped him out of the way and stole the win, then, yeah, he's got every right to be mad about it. But it was completely unintentional. He was trying to stay off of him. I mean, that's why he spun out in the first place. So, yeah, I just don't...
I do think it was a bitch move by Truex. Yeah. I do. I mean, I like Truex, but that was completely uncalled for to get that mad over that.
That was ridiculous.
And we think about that... Go ahead.
I said, I love Jimmy Johnson's reaction. He said, well, you know, if I could have done one thing differently, I should have put more front brake bias in the front and then kind of adjusted a little better. And I probably side by side with him coming to the line, which he's probably right. So he's burned the brakes a little too much.
Yeah, but, I mean, as a driver, there's so much going through your head, especially at a race like this. There's so much going through. So, I don't fault anything he did. I don't fault what happened. I mean, it's unfortunate what happened. And to just kind of cap it off was, who could write the damn script for Jeffrey Earnhardt spinning right there and Larson getting that spot?
Well, most people could write the script about Jeffrey spinning, but...
Okay. Okay.
Wait, are we talking about meaningless drivers right now?
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, for the whole situation with Larson needing that point, absolutely, you couldn't have scripted that. And he's in this trashed vehicle, bouncing off the walls.
Okay, it made me feel good. You know why it made me feel good there, Lugs? Because when I play video games, that's what I look like. So it's like I fit in for a short period of time.
You should go race the Roval, man. You should go race the Roval. Go get on iRacing.
Yeah, when we play Heat 3, that's what we look like, coming across the finish line.
Yeah, we still haven't played Heat 3, have we?
Nope.
Still need to buy it so we can play it.
I need to buy it.
It's amazing. It's amazing, guys. You'll love it. It's so good.
I mean, here's the deal. I have iRacing, and I haven't played in like 3 weeks. Ever since that one guy was trash talking me because he cut me off at Daytona and spun himself out.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
And he just going on and on, running his damn mouth. I haven't played since then. I was like, eh, whatever. It ain't worth it. You know, I'll call these little kids out. I'm going to tell your mom. I'm going to call her.
They might be one of our fans, and they don't even know.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing, too, is I don't want to hurt our brand. Yeah. I need to find a way to get our logo on the car, though, and I can, just kind of cruise around the track so people can see it as they pass me 15 times.
As they put you 10 last time.
Yeah, yeah. Marketing, man.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Hey, do you play iRacing, Thomas?
No, I want to.
Okay, it's expensive.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. The setup alone is really expensive. Yeah. But I'll get there. I definitely want to. You know, I did a little bit of iRacing with a friend. He has like the whole setup, and then I also did it. They actually have a Hall of Fame down in Charlotte. You know, you can do like a little race, which was fun. You know, actually on Charlotte, iRacing, and that was a lot of fun. And it's so realistic. I love it. And I actually do watch the races every once in a while, you know, because of the big, you know, series that they have. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. I need to find less expensive habits. Because firearms, truck parts, and iRacing are like super freaking expensive.
That's right, they are.
All right, so before we move on, I should say, Thomas, is there anything else you want to talk about? I'll throw it your way.
Well, you know, that finish though at Charlotte, I mean, we can probably say that's probably one of the greatest finishes we've seen, because we had three different races going on at the last lap. So you had Jimmy and Truex going for the lead.
Right.
You had Eric Almirola racing for his life, trying to get into the playoff, which he ended up getting in. And they have Kyle Larson, who's struggling to get to the line and ends up seeing, you know, Jeff Earnhardt for 1 point to get in. It's like, whenever we have a race finish and they're still figuring out who is where and what's going on, that means it's a pretty good finish. I mean, that uncertainty of, oh, what are the points, like, what does the finish look like? You know, we had no idea initially when everything ended. Like, okay, well, what's going on, you know? So,
yeah.
Just like that greatness that the playoffs are bringing, it was amazing.
I agree. I wouldn't call it pretty good, though. You call it pretty good. I would call it fucking awesome. It was pretty damn sweet. Right. It was pretty damn sweet. I mean, it was, like I said, your heart's pounding. you know, you're getting excited. That was a hell of a finish. Then you're like, oh, what's going on? Because the three of the guys are waiting to figure out, you know, who's in, who's out. Then you see Johnson. Again, the Lifetime movie. You went through all range of emotions in that last 5 minutes. All range. I mean, you even laughed because Truex got spun out.
So I'm curious. Did they say if Johnson hadn't stopped after he spun there, were they going to penalize him?
Yes, they were. 30 seconds. Gotcha. They're home for 30 seconds. Steve O'Donnell.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And we talked about this during the race, Thomas, but I feel like if you were spun, you know, and you lost positions, you should not have to stop.
Who was it? It was Keselowski and who else that spun, and then they both had to stop or whatever.
Truex.
Was it Truex? Yeah. Like, what the hell? Why?
Yeah, so they spun, and then they had to stop and then take off. Well, it's like, you spin, you're already forfeiting losing positions. You're not going to advance. Why you got to stop again? I don't agree with that call.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't understand that rule. And they don't do that on the road courses, so why is it different here?
Now,
if I understand the ruling on that.
If you cut the course, then okay,
yeah,
then you
sure.
got to stop.
Absolutely.
If you cut the course and you gain a position, then yeah, you got to stop. Just like going below the yellow line, you're going to have to forfeit that.
That's like getting spun right. down pit lane and being penalized for speeding. It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So they stopped that. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So why not? I mean, why? To me, that I agree. That kind of impacted the race a little bit.
Yeah. If they're going to make any amendments for next year's race, I think that is what they need to look at.
Yeah. So let's talk about next year. You ready to move on, Thomas?
I'm ready to move on.
The 2019 rules package. I'm going straight into news without talking about other stuff right now because this, I mean, really, this is changing the landscape of the game for us. So
this is huge.
Yeah, I don't know what to even think of it until I see it.
Yeah.
And obviously we're not going to see it until after Daytona, but.
The reception on it's been positive so far, though.
I know, not completely.
From the drivers, sorry.
Oh, okay, there you go. Say fans, there's a lot of fans pissed off.
Yeah, driver-wise, I mean, the worst I've seen is, hey, I'm at least going to wait to drive it and see what it's like before I comment on it.
Yeah, I think as a fan, I'm going to try to hold off any, you know, judgment on it until I actually see it.
I mean, if it produces good racing, I'm all for it. So.
I definitely want to see it though. I mean, in my mind, it's gonna be like, oh my god, really? But it really may turn out a product that I'm not expecting in a good way.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you know, they're calling this, you know, we call this the drag package. You know, it's gonna be really exciting, high, you know, close racing. It's gonna provide, you know, passing. You know, and this is really a result of all the fans. This is what the fans have been, you know, wanting. This is what the fans have been complaining about, you know, about the racing, you know, how it's too spread out. You know, there's not enough action for them. You know, God bless our fans, but, man, they bitch a lot, and they got what they wanted. So
they do.
And then they're bitching, they got what they wanted.
Yeah. Hopefully this, you know, has their expectations, you know. For me personally, I'm the same way. I'm not going to judge it quite yet. I'm not going to say anything until I see it on the track. It's going to be a little bit different than what we saw in the All-Star race, which was obviously, you know, very exciting and a lot of close racing. You know, the 500 is going to be, it's going to be incredible because it'll be the first time since 1987 since we ran without a restrictor plate. So that's going to be a big factor right there. You know, just the amount of, you know, downforce they're going to have and the less horsepower, you know, they're talking about how, you know, the throttle is going to be, you know, more controlling with the driver, you know, how their cars react. So, you know, you're going to see the cream of the crop, you know, for sure. You're not going to see, you know, your lower team still, you know, stealing the show or anything like that. You're still going to see the big teams, you know, dominate, of course, you know, and they're going to find ways to make it better. You know, the engineers are, you know, they're amazing. So, I think that the aspect of racing is going to be really good. You know, we heard Brad Smith has obviously, he's really vocal about how he feels about, you know, certain subjects. And he said, you know, hey, if this package isn't good, we may lose a few drivers because they're not happy with it. So we'll see what their impact is. But this is a really big time for NASCAR, you know, and this might be the last straw as far as, you know, changing the racing. So if it's not successful with the fans, you know, I don't know
what
else they're
going to
do.
Yeah, and one quick caveat to something you said is that actually we won't see it at the 500 this year. they're running the 2018 rules package at the 500 this year. They're going to pick it up the second race.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see that at Daytona in July next year, but we will not see that Daytona in February.
Gotcha.
But yeah, definitely I agree that, okay, one, you're painting this box for the engineers, and they're the teams that with, you know, high-quality engineers are going to expose every single thing in that box. So cutting the horsepower down, 200 horsepower, it ain't going to stop them from finding ways to work that gray area.
Exactly. And now they know what the rules are. They're already
A rumor of it, they already had people working on it. I guarantee at least big teams already had people, R&D, working on it. So you'll still see the small guys sitting in the back and the big guys being up front. Bullying their way.
But I think if it does what they're saying it should give them more chances to be competitive.
And I seen something, I don't know how to read into this, I seen something about NASCAR officials made the comment that new or manufacturers do not want to bring in the money it takes to operate a 700 plus horsepower engine. The way they worded it, it was sounding like they were trying to whet the appetite of a different manufacturer coming in.
Okay, for the 550 package for, like, the smaller tracks?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, a Hyundai, a Volkswagen, not so much a Dodge, because, Nissan. I mean, that's kind of still their forte is bigger engines, but maybe one of your more rice burner markets. Use an old school term, rice burner. Hey, what's your daily driver, Thomas?
So, right now, I'm driving a 2018 Chevy Trax, which is pretty cool. I've souped it up, so it's, you know, pretty nice.
Hold on, you just said a 2018 Chevy Trax?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I could even fit in that. They're tall, though, right? Like, tall but short, is that right?
Yeah, they're tall.
Tall but short.
Yeah, they're not as big as your typical TV, but they still got a lot of room, and you know, you can do a lot of stuff with it. So
tall but narrow.
It's nice.
Thank you, Logs. Okay. Nice. Why are you driving? You said currently, like, are you like renting it, or like, that's just what you have right now? I mean, I'm just.
Oh yeah.
I mean, did you go on a date last night, and you're like, hey, I gotta impress this chick. I'm gonna rent a Trax.
No, I had a 17. For a little while, and I ended up trading that for this one. So, you know, I wanted to go a little bigger. So, yeah, it's nice. I love it.
Cool.
Good. Cool. Awesome. So, talking about, you know, more news for next year, we have Ryan Preece stepping up from Xfinity to run full-time for in place of A.J. Allmendinger. And we have Daniel. Daniel Hemric stepping into the 31 cars next year. Where is Allmendinger going is one question. And two, did you hear the rumor about Matt DiBurrito? I'm asking either one of you two.
I haven't heard. Well, actually.
No, I have not.
I heard something about DiBurrito going to potentially the Levine Family Racing.
The 95, yeah. So that's what the rumor is as of today. Is that today LFR was supposedly courting DiBurrito.
Good for him, if that happens.
So that's if they actually make that move, which I can absolutely see that move being, you know, happening. If they move over to Joe Gibbs, that'd probably be the best equipment that Matt's ever raced in.
Yeah, I would agree.
So in that case, taking the risk that he took
paid off.
May pay off. And I mean, you got to talk about someone like Cajones to take a risk like that. So you kind of respect the guy from stepping out and say, I don't know what's coming my way, but I'm going to take a chance. Leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like, you know, someone I'd like to see, like, put them in more of a premier ride and see what they would do. Landon Castle.
He looks like he's 12.
Yeah. I know he wrecked a lot of cars in Xfinity, but again, he was never really in a decent car.
Him and William Byron, like, remind me of each other. I don't know why. I guess because they're both, like, they're 10, 12.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just always thought, you know, Landon, he's a pretty well-spoken individual. He does a lot of
reporting
for NBC Sports.
Yeah, he's funny. I like his personality.
Yeah, he is.
I think.
But like AJ's personality. Oh, talking about AJ. Sorry to cut you off there, Lugs. I just have to quote what he said last week when he was being interviewed about, you know, potentially winning the Roval. He's like, hell, I ain't got a job. I'm doing everything I can, basically. Anyway, I loved his attitude he had with that. It's like, basically, F you. I don't have a job. I'm going for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he got seventh. So,
yep. What other kind of news we got? Oh, let's talk about the pervert. So, Thomas, I don't know if you heard the news that came out today, but the vice president of Atlanta Motor Speedway was caught looking in his neighbor's 26-year-old daughter's room wearing all black with a black ski mask. Nothing says I'm guilty of being a pervert like a black ski mask.
I didn't post the story, and I just, like, I was sitting there like, what? Like, your reaction, like, I'm like, oh, like, what's going on here?
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, so we went from last week, and we'll clarify this in a second, Jordan Anderson from the truck series getting an arrest warrant for having stolen possession of a stolen Craftsman truck, to this week the executive being arrested this week for peeping Tom. Quick news update, Jordan was released of all charges. So no worries there.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, so no worries there. But, man, we've had some weird freaking news this year between Rick Crawford, Brian. Yeah, and ask your buddy Devin about his autograph from the perv Rick Crawford.
I did hear that podcast. I did hear him say that.
And then Brian France, now this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been some really weird news.
They need an industry-wide memo to be released.
Don't be a douche nozzle.
Quit effing up.
Yeah.
You're making us all look bad. Oh, gosh.
Stop getting in your douche canoes and rolling down the douche river.
So a little bit more news. I don't know if you guys heard, McMurray actually had a lug nut penalty post Roval. He's got a $10,000.
Is his second place encumbered?
No. Okay. No, just $10,000 fine. So.
Oh, talk about encumbered. My wife used that term this week. I looked at her and go, what the fuck? I just cut myself off there, by the way. I'm trying to be more kid-friendly, but... She's like, yeah, encumbered. She's talking about something with – she's in advanced nursing school, whatever you want to call it. And something about license being encumbered or something. I'm like, I haven't heard that word in like a year. She's like, what do you mean? I haven't even heard that word before. I'm like, yeah.
It's not the terminology we speak of anymore.
Exactly. I'm like, that word does not exist in our vocabulary. You understand, woman? What other news we got this week, Lugs? Thomas, you got any news while I'm looking at my notes?
That'll be a no.
Okay.
Well, I did see Chase has got a special sponsor for Talladega lined up. Napa Night Vision Lamps. Yeah, some sort of a new bulb, you know, headlamp bulb for your vehicles. But kind of the cool thing about it is with each purchase of those lamps, a donation is made to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which supports military personnel that are suffering from effects of a traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's really neat. And I don't want to like purposely plug Napa here, but I'm going to real quick. Is that, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't use Napa a lot because they tend to be a little bit more expensive than your AutoZones and stuff, and we're pretty poor. But I was looking at, I needed brakes and rotors for my truck. So I was looking, and they were like, $40 cheaper than AutoZone and O'Reilly's.
Awesome.
For good equipment. So, hey, Napa's got my business. Yeah, Napa know-how. Yeah.
Napa know-how, baby.
So I'll definitely take it. I like saving money to spend on other things. Yeah.
Like iRacing.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Did you do a year subscription? Or
I did a year subscription.
Oh, ouch. Well, at least
it was on sale.
Like $66
yeah,
it was like bucks or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
But so. It's now I'm ready to start investing in tracks and other cars.
Yeah, and it's like 10, 15 here, 10, 15 here,
yeah,
10, 15
I mean,
here.
Nickels and dimes, yeah. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I may just stay in the pickup truck series thing that I'm in, sucking there.
Yeah. Well, you do have to get... I think a certain license and so many points to be able to go up into like top series. But hey, man, maybe we'll see in the peak antifreeze series on that NASCAR sponsor.
No, it'll never happen. It'll never happen.
Not with that attitude. I mean,
it won't happen. I have very high. My I'm my abilities are very well when it comes to driving, but not on the computer.
Well, at least you're a realist, so.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
So, K&N, this is actually really big news. Really big news. The K&N series race this week was won by Haley Deegan, the first female to win a K&N race.
Nice.
So, awesome to Haley.
That was amazing.
It was. Maybe one of these days we can have her on the show. We'll try. Definitely. And we've praised her multiple times in the past and whatnot. So,
yeah.
Definitely a fan of Haley. I think she brings, the females that are coming up in the sport right now, there's so many talented drivers.
Mm, yeah.
So many. So, I hopefully one of these days we get one of them to call in.
Yeah. I mean,
I just won't have her sign my back.
Yeah, please don't do that. It's a little awkward. Yeah. Footnote to that, kind of talking about people, you know, working for their rides and wanting to come up through the ranks. Our buddy Vinny Miller from last week.
Yep.
He finished 31st in his debut with his new team at the Roval. So not probably the finish that they wanted, but, you know, clean race.
He was expecting, you know, just to kind of ride around because it's a brand new team. I mean, literally, he's only been there like three days.
So I think mission accomplished for those guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. Didn't tear anything up, so kudos to them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I did you hear last week's interview, Thomas?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay, sorry it dragged on. I got some complaints about, you know, being too friendly and not enough NASCAR talk. I apologize.
No, it was good. It was good.
Good. It's a good time, man. We really like having our interviews. And talking about interviews, I'm not going to say the name yet until it's 100% official, and I'll announce on Facebook a couple days beforehand. But next week, we should have an Xfinity driver with us.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So,
that's very nice.
Yeah, my goal is to have a driver to call in, you know, every couple weeks, once a month, something like that. So, you have no idea how hard it is getting a hold of people and getting them to say, yeah, sure, we don't know who you are, but we'll talk to you.
I can imagine. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, and it's like a job interview. You have to get used to the word no, or in my case, my dating life, you know, before I was married. So, I got used to the word no quite a bit. I should add in there right now that I am married now, and I'm not dating now because my wife might be upset.
Does your wife listen to this podcast?
No.
Can you please tell the story about the ice hockey date?
Oh, the ice hockey date? Yeah, sure. Okay.
It's my favorite.
I thought you were going to talk about hot dogs, and I'm not talking about that on the show. So here's a story for you, Thomas, that Lug's referring to. I look like a freaking idiot. So anyway, my wife knows about this story. So, I imagine the girl that I went on a date with does not listen to this. So anyway, a couple years ago, I was in the dating market and met this girl online. And, you know, blind date or first date, I meet this girl and we're having a good time. We're eating sushi and stuff. And we have a local minor league hockey team here. So I'm like, hey, you know, that'd be fun. Go to a hockey game. I got, you know, courtside seats. So I like my beer. I like lots of beer. Anyway, I won't get into all the details, but about my fifth beer or whatever, So I was getting both of us a beer, and I went to go hand her my beer, say, hey, hold on to this while I pay, right? So I can get my wallet out. At slow-mo in my mind, as I'm handing it to her, the cup full of beer slips out of my hand and just coats this girl.
Oh.
over her. It wasn't a Busch Light, it was a Bud Light. But still, I mean, and I talk about feeling like you're 2 inches tall. People around me were like cheering and shit. It was crazy. And here's another crazy, like, funny kind of twist to that is, like, 2 years later, Lug starts talking to this girl, and she's like, oh, yeah, one time my friend got a beer poured on her on a date. And he starts laughing and goes, yeah, I know who that was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
And by the way, I never had a second date with her. And, yeah, that was it. And actually, it was right before I started dating my wife, because after I started dating my wife, she had messaged me and wanted to go out for another drink or whatever. So I actually didn't ruin my chances completely.
Yeah, somehow you saved it.
Yeah, it's because I my good looks and my awesome charm. That would be the reason.
Just remember that whenever we go live on YouTube.
Yeah. So that was a complete lie, folks. I don't purposely lie to you, but I am an ugly mother. Mm. So yeah, I have a face for radio. That is,
but you're not gonna wear ski masks, so that's okay.
No, I think about getting a Bill Clinton mask and just cutting the mouth out a little bit bigger so I can talk through this thing. Okay.
Why Bill Clinton?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I didn't think about it. I just said someone.
All right. Well, do we want to move on to picks? Make some picks here.
Yeah. So next week we're at Dover. So Thomas, I am going to give you the floor since you're our guest tonight. Who's your picks for Dover?
Cool. Oh man.
Am I putting you on the spot?
No. Yeah. It's all good. I'll definitely go first. So I know you guys do a dark horse. So what are we considering people out of the top 12? Or
if you don't pick someone, yeah, that's outside of the chase, then Gasman gets pretty upset. So
Well, it makes sense. But you know, that's like saying, my dark horse is explaining.
That's a good question though. Is someone that's outside of the top 12 now?
I'm glad you bring that up because I was gonna choose Johnson and use that argument.
Hey, he does have 11 wins there.
Yeah, but he hasn't won like 2
weeks.
Kind of
iffy the last 2 weeks, so I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what? You can do what you want to do. If you want your dark horse to be Kevin Harvick because you're our guest,
you're
we will
our guest,
allow that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I am going to be a little bit biased. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch this weekend. He's really good at Dover. You know, he has won the fall race. Obviously, had the epic win against Chase Elliott. You know. 2 years ago, so I'm gonna go with Kyle as the favorite, and then a dark horse. You know, I'm gonna go a little farther back. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Eric Jones. I think Eric Jones would have a great weekend. He's really fast everywhere, and pretty consistent all the way around. So I'll go to JD Yardcars, but yeah, definitely Eric Jones would be the dark horse this week.
No bias. All right, I very good picks, I think, and I don't see anything wrong with Eric Jones being a dark horse because, I mean, he is, you know, outside of top 12, so good enough. All right, Lugs, I think I chose first last week, so I'll give you the floor, sir.
All right, I'm going to go with Mr. Larson just because he had a fast car last week. He wasn't able to capitalize on it, got swept up in something of wasn't really his own making. I think he's got some fast cars here lately. And he's just been kind of victim of circumstances. So I'm gonna say he's gonna step up. Dover's got that high line. He's gonna be up top. So I'm gonna go with Larson, and Suarez is my dark horse.
You son of a bitch.
He finished third there in the spring. So.
I know. That's who I has my dark horse. Okay. All right.
All right, Gasman, who's your?
Well, I'm gonna go with Johnson as my dark horse now. Because I was joking about that. I'll just go with it. Johnson, my dark horse. I mean, he hasn't won a race in 2 years, essentially. So, and my main pick is Chase Elliott.
All right, yeah.
So, looking at stats for Dover, Truex is up there. Chase Elliott's right behind him with, you know, consecutive top 10s, top 5s, et cetera. So, and Suarez, actually, every race Suarez has ever raced there, he's been in the top 10.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's so in your favor since you chose Suarez
right.
Now, Logs. Because
I stole him from you.
Bastard.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well,
Thomas, before we say goodbye and, you know, our sweet surrenders, do you have anything else to, you know, talk about or anything?
I'm just really, really excited for the rest of the season. You know, obviously we're getting down to nitty gritty. You know, we're down to our final 12. You know, I see it being way more, you know, exciting, way more energized than the first round. So, you know, obviously we have a big round coming up. You know, we got Talladega next week, which is going to be obviously uncertainty and craziness, I'm sure, as always. So that'll be really exciting. You know, it's kind of cool to see that each round of the playoffs now actually kind of has a wild card race, which is, you know, making it really interesting. So that's really cool. You know, obviously Martinsville at the end of the year is a huge wild card. That's always crazy. But yeah, no, I'm really excited for the rest of the season. Obviously, it's going to be really, really cool to see who's going to come out on top. You know, who's not thinking who is going to make it. You know, so we'll have to play out and see what happens. I'm really excited.
Oh yeah. I think we all are. We gave Devin the opportunity to plug his Twitter handle. Few weeks ago, Do you want to share yours? We'll give you that opportunity if you can remember it. I don't think Devin couldn't remember what his was. So.
Yeah, mine's at Thomas Murph 18. So just any followers want to come join the ride, let's go.
Thomas Murph 18?
Yep.
All right, perfect. Cool.
I thought, for some reason, I thought like Tommy Salami 69 or something. I just plugged some random dude. Yeah, that sounded horrible. Yeah. Thanks, Logs, you jackass.
That's why I love this podcast.
Yeah, so, Thomas, you know, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking part of our stupidity, our hijinks. I don't know what to call it. And Devin went through the same punishment, unfortunately, so... anyway, yeah, we, just to kind of inform everybody, yes, we do drink like real beer on this show and it really helps us out. So hopefully we're not that horrible to listen to. good times. Good times.
I like to think most people find this a little funny.
I will make a sign though. I was drinking a Jack and Coke during this broadcast.
Even, so hey, right there you go. Perfect. Awesome. There you awesome. Go. Yeah. It's not quite as classy as Busch Light, but hey, you know.
Hey, tell him your Kenny Wallace story real quick about Busch Light.
Oh, yeah. So Kenny Wallace made a comment on Twitter about how in the Midwest, you know, like everybody's drinking Busch Light now. I said, yep, I know. You seen that? Yeah. So Kenny Wallace liked our tweet. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Kenny's our buddy. Awesome. Never met him. Never talked to him. He's our buddy.
Big Cardinals fan, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we live like 2 hours fan, from St. Louis, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
So why are you a Cubs fan? Being in Florida.
Actually, I'm originally from Indiana. I was in Indiana. So
I'm sorry.
I know you guys are in Indiana, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, what part of Indiana were you from?
Northern Indiana. So actually, my family is out of South Bend.
Okay.
Okay, okay.
Home of Notre Dame. I do like Notre Dame.
Yeah. My family, my dad, my dad and my grandpa are huge Notre Dame fans. But growing up, we always watched the Cubs. So I've watched the Cubs my whole life. Anywhere from, 2000 to, the 2003, of course, and from the Steve Bartman catch and all that good stuff.
So, yeah.
All that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I was in college when that happened, and, like, all the people on my floor in college were all from the Chicago, Northern Indiana area. And, of course, I'm, like, the only Cardinals fan on my floor. And I was like, yeah, take that! It was fun. And then after college, I had the luxury, I guess I'll call it a luxury. I moved to the Chicago area. I lived up there for 2 years after college. It sucked. It wasn't bad, just the cost of living is stupid. Stupid crazy. And then from Chicago, I moved to Texas for a while. I lived in Texas. I love Texas. So Texas, we're proud. Yeah. I like Texas. If I had a chance to move back, I probably will. Awesome. So one last question. What do you do for a living? You like a male stripper or?
Well, yeah, that's on the side. So,
okay.
I work at Bass Pro Wilson, and I'm in the footwear department. So I sell all the shoes to everybody that comes through there.
You sell all the what?
I sell all the shoes to everybody.
Shoes. Oh, okay. I thought you said sheets at first. I'm like, how many people buy sheets at Bass Pro? Okay. Awesome, awesome. Definitely a fan of Bass Pro. I'm a hunter, so I spent many, 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 many of dollars at Bass Pro. Many,
yeah,
many.
Yeah, great company to work for. They're like a family more than anything, so it's really awesome. They take really good care of you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Thomas. You have a wonderful night. Thanks for listening to all this BS that we spill out every week.
All right, you guys too. It's been a blast. I can't wait to be on again.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right, you too, guys.
Well, folks, that was a fan of ours. Thomas called in. Thanks for joining us, Thomas. And fans, as always, reach out to us. Talk to us. Maybe you come on the show sometimes. We'd like to have you. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.